It's on now. So good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Grace. What a great group of Girl Scouts we have here today. And I do want to say thank you from Grace for actually being here today. But we also have some business to attend to. So this is a very busy week here at Grace. On Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, we will have pancakes, and our treat is deep fried bacon. Now, the good news about that is you took something very bad and we enhanced it, but it tastes great. So please come to that. On Wednesday, we'll have our Ash Wednesday services. We'll have one at noon here at Grace, and we'll have one at 6 o'clock. So please attend that.
Do what?
So the question on the floor is the daytime at 11 or 12?
Daytime's at
12. At 12. Okay, thank you. So
it's a drop-in. So you come, you have prayer, receive the imposition of ashes, and then depart, and you're ready. It's time for you to be with God on that ash Wednesday, get ready to go into that.
Yeah. Thank you, Rhett. We show here on the Wednesday, the 26th, as well, we'll have our services at 6, and at 7 o'clock, we'll have our cooking class, and that is with John Childs. You're all welcome to come to that. What we're trying to do there is incorporate the church with the community, so it's a great chance for us to meet the crowd with that. Wow.
We hope that you'll come, and I hope that entices you to come on Wednesday night. Join us for Ash Wednesday, and also stay around the cooking class with Chef John, as he teaches us some delicious stuff. And so please be welcome. Come and join us.
So we'll be feasting twice this week. So please come to that. Then on Saturday, the church will be open for the elections, just so you, if this is where you vote, we will have that. And then on Sunday next week, besides our services, we'll celebrate Caitlin Floyd's bridal shower at 3. So any other business for the church? Okay. Do we have any birthdays that we're going to celebrate this coming week or in the last few days? No birthdays. Anniversaries, wedding anniversaries. Any wedding anniversaries? Okay. Welcome everybody to Grace, and let's go ahead and begin our worship of the risen Christ.
Thank you.
bulletin and join me for our call to worship. It's printed there. It's based on 2 Peter 1, 16 through 21, which is one of our scripture lessons for the day. Our Lord Jesus Christ received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. Amen.
Those who are able, please stand and join with me in singing hymn number 327, "Crown Him with Many Crowns."
Better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yay. My name is Cindy Goodrich. For those of you who don't know me, I belong here to Grace. I am a Girl Scout leader here. I'm the service unit manager for the service unit 647, which includes about 18 troops in this geographical area. And I'm the Girl Scout liaison for Grace United Methodist Church, which means I'm the go-between who tells other people when they didn't do something right. Okay? I wanted to talk a little bit about Girl Scouting, as I do every year, and sometimes I tend to run on so Rhett can, like, poke me if I talk too long. Girl Scouting is a ministry of the United Methodist Church, Boy Scouting and Girl Scouting both. We don't have any Boy Scouts meeting here at this time. We currently, this school year, have three troops that meet here on a regular basis, plus two other troops that meet here sometimes. One of those meets at the school during the school year and here in the summer. If you have seen the rock garden in the parking lot, has anybody seen that? Tell me if you've seen that. Okay, that was put there by Troop 1830, which meets here mostly in the summer. That is a Kindness Rock Garden. That was the bronze award for their Girl Scout troop at the age of juniors. That is the highest award that a junior Girl Scout can get. We have meeting in our troop, I think, troops that are in our church, troops that encompass just about all the ages of Girl Scouts. They start at Daisies, which are kindergartners and first graders, and we have a new troop of Daisies meeting here, and that is Troop 3398. We have Brownies, that's second and third grade, juniors is fourth and fifth, cadets is sixth through eighth, seniors 9 and 10, and ambassadors are 11th and 12th graders. We focus on something called the Girl Scout Leadership Experience, and the girls probably will go, what? But everything that your leaders do for you has something to do with the Girl Scout Leadership Experience. All of your activities feed into it somehow. You have activities that help you discover who you are, what this world is about, who you are in relation to other people, discover things about yourself and others and how you relate. You have activities to help you connect with other people. You might be going out doing a rock garden. You might be connecting with other people through service projects or through activities you do. You might be connecting with other Girl Scout troops in your service unit when you do events such as Girl Scout Sunday or the events that we have at different places for all the troops in our service unit. And then you have your Take Action Awards, things that you do that help you to make the world a better place. And that is part of what? Where do you hear make the world a better place? The Girl Scout Law. That's one of parts of the Girl Scout Law. Our activities are varied. Each troop pretty much decides what they want to do. But all the activities have something to do with either STEM, science, robotics, computers, all that kinds of stuff, the out of doors, life skills, or, I love this word, entrepreneurship. I said it. What are we doing right now in Girl Scouting, girls? Cookies. Okay, what do you learn when you do cookies? You learn more than just standing around saying, do you want to buy some Girl Scout cookies? Girls learn about goal setting. They learn about handling money and how to count money sometimes for our younger ones that don't know yet. How to approach people in a respectful manner and yet get their message across that we want you to buy some Girl Scout cookies. They set goals as to what to do with that money that they're going to earn. They learn how to work with other people, and they learn business skills, how to put that all together into a budget as to how we're going to plan our next trip and how much money do we need. So they learn a lot of different things other than just delivering some pretty good tasting cookies. And by the way, if you haven't bought your cookies yet, the troop that is doing our reception after the service, and everyone is invited for a cake and punch reception, is also going to have some cookies there in case you haven't bought yours yet. So come on over after the service and make sure that you get some cake and goodies and buy some cookies if you haven't. I want to ask a couple questions. Hopefully some of the girls will know. What is our founder's name? Oh, say it louder. That was pretty good. Juliet Gordon Lowe. And what is her nickname?
Daisy.
Now, usually, I provide flowers on Girl Scout Sunday that sit over here, and they're usually all daisies. But see what's over there today? That wasn't from me. But God is in all things. And this Jones family that provided those for a birthday in their family graciously have some daisies in there. So we can say that those flowers are just as much for Girl Scout Sunday as they are for the birthday that they are celebrating, right? Say yes. Yes. All right. Okay, what I want to do now, first of all, is a little bit of recognition. I would like all current leaders, lifetime members, troop community, people, anyone who's registered as a Girl Scout to please stand. All registered Girl Scouts, please stand. Look around you, girls. It's not just you and your troop, right? You've got some adults standing up that you've never met. Look towards the back of the sanctuary. You've got some adults back there. You have no idea who they are. But they're Girl Scouts, too. Have a seat. Now I want anyone who has ever been a Girl Scout, registered Girl Scout or leader, to stand up, because I know we've got some other church people here who have done it in the past. Now, girls, look around you. You see some more people standing up? These folks were Girl Scouts at some point in their lives, either as girls or adults. I want to give a hand to all adults who have ever served in any Girl Scout position. Please be seated. Now at this moment, I'm going to ask Troop 1886 to come forward. These girls are going to lead us in the Girl Scout Promise and Law. I would like every currently registered Girl Scout to stand to take part in saying the Promise and Law. I will try to serve God and my country, to help people at all times, and to live by the Girl Scout law. I will do my best to be honest and fair, friendly and helpful, considerate and caring, courageous and strong, and responsible for what I say and do. Respect authority, use resources wisely, make the world and be a sister to every Girl Scout. Thank you, girls. We're going to continue our service now with the children's sermons, so would all the children please come to the front, along with Madison, who's going to be doing this for us today.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Madison, and I've been a Girl Scout for 5 years, and I'm a part of Troop 1577, and I'm going to be doing the children's sermon. Has anyone been hiking or camping before? Well, I've been camping before, and it was at Camp Wayback, and it's a camp for Girl Scouts of all ages, and I went with my troop. And we had a lot of fun, and I made a lot of memories, and I made some new experiences, and I met a lot of new people. And as much fun as I had at Camp Wayback, I had to, like, come back home because I had family and friends and school I had to go back to. And this is, like, kind of relating to God, because you can't really freeze your time with God because you have to go back to your school and learn new things, and you have to go back to your friends and activities because God is going to be with you no matter what. And we bring God during all the things we do, like before school, like if you have a test, you bring him with him because you pray before you do a test to hope you do good because God will always be there with you. No matter what happens, he'll always be there. Thank you for listening to me.
So this morning, in addition to being Girl Scout Sunday, it's a special Sunday here at Grace when we do something called the Noisy Offering. And the Noisy Offering is anybody who's got change with them, we're going to send some of these kids, all of these kids, as many kids as we've got 10 cans for, which we'll see how far they go, around to you to place your coins in the can, and then everybody brings them back up at the end. All y'all bring them back up in the end. We pour them in here. We make as much noise as we can. And what we're doing with this is every month we have a different mission that this goes to. So this month, you can read some about this in the bulletin. It's going to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. We have somebody connected to our church who's doing a fundraising goal with Make-A-Wish, and so we're helping her do that. This is something we've done before, and so we're going to be raising money for Make-A-Wish, and I need y'all's help. Y'all come up here, and we do take dollars, too. If you don't have change, you can put whatever you want to in here. We're equal opportunity on that. There you go, bud. All right. Oh, there you go. There you go. Oh, you got a little start there. All right. this in on the count of three all together, okay? So we're going to wait 1 second till everybody's back up here with us. I don't see any hands. I don't hear any chains rattling out there anymore. Now I do. There we go. All right, hold on. We're going to count to three, okay? Everybody ready? Come on. Come on, Miss Lucy. Come around here next to me. All right. Oh, Andrew's getting a head start. 1, 2, 3. All right. Oh, you can drop the whole can in there. Drop the whole can in when you're done. All right, Miss Lucy, finish us off. All right. Thank you so much. So it's a great noise. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. This morning, as we prepare our hearts to go to God in prayer, first I want to start by asking if you have an unspoken prayer request, we invite you to raise your hand so we can acknowledge that this morning. Thank you for sharing with us that way. This morning, as we share spoken prayer requests, we want to remember Richard Love's aunt. She's got some hardship going right now related to her house. We also want to remember Mike and Darlene Simpson's daughter-in-law, who's recovering from surgery this past week, as well as Ed Walter, who is currently hospitalized right now. Found out this morning he's been having some health trouble, and so we want to pray for him. We also want to be in prayer for Bernard, as well as for Bernard's godson, and some medical hardship right now as well. We also want to give thanks to God and praise to God for all these Girl Scouts who've come to serve here at Grace this morning to help us in worship. We praise God for them. And we offer praise and glory to God for Cindy for being our Girl Scout connection and liaison. She does a great job and works really hard. And I just want to say thank you all to all of you Girl Scouts for being flexible and changing Girl Scout Sunday from our traditional Sunday to be on this Sunday to help better fit the church's calendar and schedule so we can be devoted to Lent over the next few weeks. Thank you all so much for your flexibility in that and for helping us to be the church that way. Are there other spoken prayer requests that you all would offer? Yes. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. The Mobley family and their displacement right now following the storms. Any others? Seeing none, let's go to God in prayer. Holy God, mighty and immortal, the cloud of your splendor and the fire of your love revealed your Son on the mountain heights. You're beyond our knowing, yet we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ, whose compassion illumines the world. Transform us into the likeness of the love of Christ, who renewed our humanity so that we may share in his divinity, the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. And as he taught us, so now we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Amen.
Those who are able, please stand and join with me in singing hymn number 349, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Good morning. Today, I'll be reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9, from the New Revised Standard Version. The Transfiguration. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The word of God for the people of God.
So this morning, I'm going to tell you all a little bit about my story. I find myself, as I'm hearing this passage of Scripture from Matthew 17 about what we call in the church the Transfiguration of the Lord. This is a Sunday that we celebrate every year. Every year before we enter into the time of Lent, the time of preparation for Easter, for our Holy Week, on the Sunday before all of that begins, we always celebrate this Transfiguration Sunday, and we read this passage of Scripture, or another one that's like it, that describes Jesus taking his disciples up a mountain and being changed, transformed, transfigured before their eyes. And so as I'm listening to this story and as I heard it this morning and was mulling over it over the course of the last few weeks, I kept coming back to my own story of faith. And for me, my story of faith begins long before this story actually starts, but I want to tell you this particular piece. When I was in the eighth grade, my home church decided to start, for the first time, doing Youth Disciple Bible Study. Now, Youth Disciple Bible Study was a school year-long study. It was 30 weeks of Bible study with a group of friends led by some faithful adults in our church who brought together some of the youth in the church, primarily teenagers, to come together and to study Scripture. You covered most of the Bible, the Old Testament for half the year and the New Testament for the other half of the year, roughly. Now, as a part of doing Youth Disciple Bible Study and all of the disciple programs, these year-long programs, part of what they build in is at the end of the study, you get together in a retreat setting with all your friends that you've gone through the year with, studying Scripture. You've heard how they're reading and interpreting. You've tried to figure out what this text, this Bible means together. And at the end of the year, you get together with this retreat, and you sit down, and you start to describe how you think Jesus is calling you to be a disciple. How is Jesus calling us to take the next steps in discipleship? With the story we've read, the question at the end of the study isn't, what have we learned? It's, what are we going to do? What's Jesus called us to do with this knowledge? And not only do you begin to tell that story on your own, but all of these folks, your friends, your leaders, they tell you what they see in you. And it's this powerful moment where they look at you and they say, "I see these gifts in you. I see this being a way that you might could live out your faith." And for me, it was the first time as an eighth grader that somebody looked at me and said, "You know what? I think you might be called to be a pastor." It was the first time. In the eighth grade, I didn't want to hear that. It wasn't on my radar. I wanted to be a doctor in the eighth grade. And that continued for a long time. But that was the first time that somebody looked at me, an adult, the person leading the study looked and said, I think you're called to preach and to teach in the role of a pastor. And as I'm completing this and I'm hearing this for the first time, my youth group at the time also had decided, you know what? What we need to do is we need to get on board with this mission program that the South Carolina Methodist Church has that's called Salkahatchee. And you go for a week and you work on people's houses and you get your hands dirty fixing roofs and floors and you get to know the homeowner. And you get to know these faithful people from around the state who come to work to serve for a week. You sleep on the floor, you or an air mattress, you're hot, you're sweaty, you're dirty all the time, it feels like, and you work. And it was my first opportunity to be in mission and ministry. Right after hearing this about my gifts, about what people thought my gifts were, then I found myself on this mission trip, seeing Jesus in the people I was working with and the people on whose home I was working. And you begin to see Jesus in your neighbors in a situation like that. And then I made the mistake in this first time going on this mission trip. I decided I needed to leave early because my scout troop was going to be hiking the Appalachian Trail. And I had trained with them. I was gonna go on this hike with them, and they picked me up on the way. My scout troop picked me up from this mission trip, and they carried me up on the last day of the mission trip. They got me early, and I went with them, and we got on the trail, and all of a sudden, as this going into ninth grade boy, I found myself on a mountain, having studied scripture for a year and served in mission. And anybody, at that time, I'd only done this Bible study thing once. I didn't know enough to know how much danger I was in. You know what I'm saying? Anybody who spends a little time, just like our story this morning, knows that when you have something like that going on with you and you find yourself on a mountain, something's about to happen. I didn't know that. I can only see it looking back now. But that's exactly what happened. Laying there on the ground in a tent, sounds of nature all around. All of a sudden, I had this overwhelming feeling of the presence of God. That God was true, that what God had been showing me in Scripture was true, that Jesus was who Jesus said he was, that the folks I had met and seen Jesus in that week before, that they were conveying to me the truth about who Jesus was. All of a sudden, on this mountain in the midst of God's grandeur, I had this overwhelming assurance of Jesus. Now, for me, that also meant feeling my call to ministry, really for the first time. Even though somebody had already told me they saw it for me, it was the first time I felt it. And what I believe is that when we have these moments where we know that what Jesus has told us is true, that when we know that what Jesus wants for us is true, that Jesus' love and grace and mercy are true, that he really and truthfully wants us to know and have relationship with him, when we feel that, we begin to understand how Jesus is calling each and every one of us to serve him. It's not in the same way. Not everybody's called to the same thing, but Jesus has a plan and a calling for each and every one of us. And so that's the story of, for me, the first time that I knew that Jesus had died for me, that Jesus had saved me, that Jesus wanted to have a relationship with me, that Jesus wanted to pull me into God's presence and God's power, that Jesus loved me. I'd sung the song. That was the first time that I knew it. And you see, all of that comes rushing back to me as I hear this story of the transfiguration, because What I hear in that is that on this occasion, Jesus takes Peter and James and John up a mountain. It's late in the gospel. They've been with Jesus on the road. They've learned from him at his feet on the Sermon on the Mount and every other time he's taught. They've been with him when he's healed and when he has performed miracles. They've been with him as he's done ministry. They have been there when he commissioned them to go out and do it themselves, to preach the good news and to heal in his name. They've been with him throughout all of this learning, finding out about who Jesus was, and now all of a sudden Jesus says, come on, let's go up the mountain. And when they get there, Jesus is transformed into this radiant, dazzling light. And we hear in the scripture that all of the sudden, Peter and James and John, it appeared to them that Moses and Elijah was with him, was with Jesus, talking with him. Now, Moses and Elijah, we remember from the Old Testament, represent the law and the prophets. They represent all of Scripture. So here we have all of Scripture suddenly appearing with Jesus on the mountain. All of Scripture is here embodied with Jesus on the mountain as he's transformed into this dazzling white, into this bright radiance, as his face is changed, as he begins to reflect who he truly is. All of Scripture comes and is talking with him. And not just all of Scripture, but Moses and Elijah were closely connected with the Messiah tradition, with the idea that there was one coming who would save God's people. Now, Peter then mistakenly thinks that all three are equals. That what's happened is Jesus has gone up the mountain, been transfigured, and Moses and Elijah have come for the first time to talk with him. But that's not what's going on there. We heard how Matthew phrased it. They appeared to Peter, James, and John talking with him. They appeared to Peter, James, and John. They've been with Jesus the whole time. Jesus is revealed in this moment as the embodiment of Scripture, the Word made flesh. All of Scripture was there with him the whole time. But Peter has mistakenly thought that all three were equals and that what he needs to do is to build some tents, to build some shelters, to build a dwelling. It's like, oh man, we got here. We came for a day hike. We didn't come for a camping trip. That's what Peter is thinking. He's like, but we got to camp here and stay with Moses and Elijah and Jesus. We got things to learn from them. We can't move on yet. And so Peter makes this suggestion, Jesus, let's set up some tents. Let's build some shelters. And in just that quick of a moment, as Peter makes this mistake, as Peter suggests this thing that wasn't actually going on, all of a sudden, the glory of God, the bright and brilliant cloud, overshadows everyone who's there on the mountain. It overshadows everyone that's there. The awe-inspiring presence of God moves into their midst, which matches Jesus' radiant appearance at this point, and it proclaims, "This is my son. Listen to him." It proclaims Jesus not just to be the Word made flesh, not just to be the embodiment of Scripture, not just to be the fulfillment of Scripture, but in this moment, the transcendence, the greatness of God appears and says, "This is my Son, the Holy One. This is God in your midst." Now, this was a step further than what anyone expected the Savior of the people of Israel to be. They didn't think he was going to be divine. They thought he would be anointed by God, a political leader come to save them from the Roman oppression. But all of a sudden, God has stepped in and said, "No, this is my Son, the Divine One." And in this moment, the experience of hearing the voice of God, of being in the brilliant presence of God, drops all three disciples flat on the ground. Peter and James and John hit the deck. They know that they're somewhere that they probably shouldn't be because it's holy ground. They know that they found themselves in the presence of God unexpectedly, and so they do the only thing they can do, which is get as low as possible to try not to be noticed. And in this moment, as they drop themselves low into the dust and dirt of the earth, into the filth and the mud and the muck on the mountain, as they drop themselves down to the deck, in this moment, Jesus reveals another layer of who he is, another piece of who he is, because in this moment, Jesus then walks over to them and reaches out to them. The one that the brilliance of God has just said, "This is my Son, this is God in your midst," the one who has been shown to be in communion with all of Scripture, the embodiment of all of Scripture, that same one comes over, reaches out, and is revealed in the encouraging human touch as he grasps them on the shoulder and tells his friends, his followers there laying flat in the earth, "Get up, be raised," he says, "and do not be afraid." And at this point, the disciples look up. They look up because Jesus is telling them to get up. They look up because Jesus is telling them, do not be afraid. They look up and they see that it's Jesus alone. It's just him. The whole time it was just him. The whole time when Moses and Elijah were talking with him, it was just him. The whole time when the brilliant radiance and the booming voice echoed out, "This is my son, the beloved, listen to him." The whole time it was just him. Jesus is the Word, Scripture made flesh. Jesus is God, and Jesus is one of us, reaching down to each and every one of us and telling us, be raised and do not be afraid. It is Jesus alone. It's who Jesus is. So then as they make their way down the mountain, Jesus tells his disciples not to tell anyone about the encounter until after he has been raised, until after they receive full understanding. Now we could, there are folks who do this. They sit around and debate, why in the world would Jesus want to keep this a secret? What makes sense about Jesus telling them to keep a secret? I'm here to tell you it doesn't matter. We spent so much time thinking about why Jesus tells them to keep it a secret that we've been keeping it a secret. Here's the deal. Jesus is raised. He told those disciples before he was raised, don't tell anybody about this until after I'm raised. Now Jesus is raised. Jesus is raised, and we can tell. We can tell somebody. We can tell somebody our story of how we learned about who Jesus was. We can tell somebody our story about how we met Jesus in our neighbor. We can tell somebody our story about that time when we felt the overwhelming greatness of God enter into our life. We can tell somebody our story of that time that Jesus reached out and grasped us by the shoulder and said, be raised and do not be afraid. We can tell. We should be telling. We should be bearing witness to the ways we meet Jesus. On the mountain, in the valley, on the plain, wherever it was, we should be telling people about Jesus and what he's done for us. Just like in our children's sermon, as we got to go down the mountain and enter into life with God, because God has entered into life with us. We should be bearing witness to the ways that Jesus has been revealed to us in our lives and our neighbors in Scripture, in the awe-inspiring beauty of creation, in all three, in every way. Why? Because Jesus has come to us by whatever means necessary. If you're all in your head like me and always thinking and always trying to figure it out, Jesus meets you in the study, in Scripture. Jesus is Scripture. If you are... one who wants to get out there and work, to serve, to look at your neighbors, to be with them, to help them, to lift them up, to be present with them. Jesus is with you in the work. Jesus meets you in the work with those you work with and those you serve. Jesus meets us wherever, revealing himself however we need it. And sometimes, just sometimes, maybe you're one of those folks that needs to know the awe-inspiring brilliance of God, and we come and we find that in worship. We find it in creation. We see the beauty of God all around us, and Jesus is there with us. It is Jesus alone. So my question for us today is, how have you come to know Jesus? How did Jesus enter into your life? What way did Jesus make himself known to you first? What way did he make himself known to you second? If you haven't yet, or if you're unsure, if you're not certain about how Jesus entered into your life, I have great news, and that is that Jesus can't wait for you to see him. J- Jesus is right around the corner. He's right in front of your face. He is ready to be revealed to you in whatever way you need him to be. Jesus wants a relationship with you. And if you have, if you've had that experience of coming to know Jesus by some means or another, know that Jesus can't wait for you to know him afresh. He wants to meet you again. He wants to see you again. He wants to hear from you again. He wants to enter into your life again so that you know about his grace and his love and his mercy new each day. And maybe you're like me, and God's going to have to use all three to work on your thick head and thick heart. As it took all three for me. How have you come to know Jesus? As the Word made flesh, as the Son of God, as the friend and teacher reaching down to lift you up. All of it is who Jesus is. Jesus alone, God with us, God for us, God made known to us by whatever means necessary. Come to know Jesus. Come to know Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand and join with me as we join our voices in proclaiming our faith using the Apostles' Creed. It's number 881 in your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Be seated. At this time, we have the opportunity to give back to God out of all that God has so graciously given to us through our tithes and our offerings.
Still with thee in close.
God of power and love, we come to worship this day in anticipation, to hear the music, to be fed with the word, to reconnect with family, but most of all, to listen to your voice as it might speak to us in the silent moments. May your goodness and caring be affirmed in the gifts we give. As worship comes to an end, may we hear Jesus' voice sending us out into the mission field, and may we listen and go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please join with me as we sing our hymn number 176, Majesty, Worship His Majesty.
Our mission at Grace is
to know Jesus and to make him known to others.
Remember how you know Jesus. Remember how Jesus was made known to you, and then go into the world and tell somebody about it. Make him known to others in everything that you do, in every word you say, in every action you take, in every thought, in every deed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.